Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega. And Father, it is our desire to behold the Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, may you open our eyes. May we see and understand your will. And Father, we thank you that we can gather today in your name to worship, to praise, and to hear from you, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome. You may be seated. Good evening. That's usually what I say. Hey, listen, a couple of things. I have been saying that if you're not feeling well, you know, just stay home, watch online. That is why Jennifer and I were not here Sunday. We weren't that sick. I just didn't want to take a chance. We didn't go. We were like, is this an allergy thing? Is it a barometric pressure? We had headaches and we weren't feeling too well. We did sleep quite a bit. I normally don't do that. But we did, but we're feeling great. So it was nothing major, nothing, no big deal. But I just wanted to be safe. And but besides that, you got to hear Steve teach, and it was really good teaching. So yeah, it was awesome. So just be safe. Hey, Access is Friday the 22nd at Vanessa's house at 6. They're going to finish up the book of Daniel, and then they're going to start the Truth Project. We'll show that preview again this Sunday. We tried to show it last Sunday. We had a problem. I went through the Truth Project. I didn't really teach it. It's a video series, and but it is excellent. It's really, really good. So if that's something you're interested in, that's young adults, 18 to whatever, I don't know. If you feel young at heart, talk to them. Maybe they'll let you sneak in, I don't know. But it's really for young adults, 18 and up till, I don't know, you figure it out. Also, super excited, this Sunday we're having new to HBC after second service. So if you're new here and you haven't had a chance to, like, ask some questions, find out about the origin of HBC, meet some of the leadership, please. We have snacks. We have all kinds of things. They have a little video they show. And so if you want to come to that, that's this Sunday after second service. So plan accordingly. All right. Let me address the elephant in the room. Literally. listen. The election was, the inauguration was held. The world didn't explode. We thought it would. I did. But listen, many of you were like me. I believed that God could and would at the last minute change things. I will stand. I will continue to stand, and I won't be moved. I am done with that. I mean, we've got this president. I don't agree with the president that we have. Listen, already he signed into order a 100-day mask mandate, federal mask mandate. Whether it's going to be enforced here in Arizona, don't know. But that's okay. You want to do that, go ahead. Also, he said he was going to destroy the NRA, which is really brave of him, seeing how 2 days ago they filed bankruptcy. So not quite a fight. You know, that's like saying I'm going to beat up a blind man. NRA is pretty much done as it is. They filed bankruptcy because a lot of people are disheartened with it. So anyways, listen, but he is our president. He is our president. And whether we agree with the president or not, I know that I've made some statements. I believe them to be true, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But I think that belief in something that you haven't seen or have no evidence for is the very essence of faith. And it's hard. It's hard. Listen, it's hard for a lot of people because most people operate upon reason and upon sight. And I'm going to show you that as Christians, that can stifle our walk. Listen, HBC is here because I didn't rely on reason and logic. If I went logically, I would have stayed in Houston. But I didn't. I listened to the Lord. I followed the Lord. But you go, but wait a minute. You know, you were saying things, so then you weren't hearing from the Lord. Now, I want to show you something in tonight's study that maybe you've never, these are stories you've heard before. You've looked at them, but maybe not quite in this way. Here's one thing I know. When I die, when we, those of us who believed that the election was going to be overturned, those of us who believed that, when we get to heaven, I don't think they're going to say, oh, you guys are the ones who actually believed God could do a miracle? Wow. No, I think they're going to be more like, you guys really believed it? Yes, I did. Wow, good for you. I don't think it's like a little kid who says, my daddy could beat up your dad. I probably can't, you know, or my mommy's the best cook ever. Well, let's ask Gordon Ramsay that. But see, you don't go, oh, no. Listen, that's that childlike faith that just believes in the best. I like what one person said. They said this, faith is telling a mountain to move and being shocked only if it doesn't move. I believed the mountain was going to move. I am shocked that it didn't move. But I haven't lost faith in God. Now, we've all prayed for sick people, right? Anyone here never prayed for someone who was sick? We always pray that they will be healed. We believe that God can heal them. When God doesn't heal them, do we go, oh, well, never going to do that again? No, that's the essence of faith, but it's how we respond afterwards. Now, I think it's also important, folks, that we look at what God says. So we go, okay, so now we have a new president. I'm not going to say not my president because I'm an American. That makes him my president. I didn't vote for him, and I won't vote for him. I may not like the things he does. But here's what Romans 13:1. You know what it says, but listen. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Whether you are and I like it, for whatever reason, God's purposes will be fulfilled by a Biden administration. What are those purposes? Hijo de mañana. Just remember what God said to Habakkuk, and you go do your own study. Or how about this? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, and intercessions be given of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead quiet, peaceable lives in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This tells us that we are to offer up supplication, prayers, and intercession, giving thanks for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. So we need to thank and trust God and who's been put in position. That's hard to do. But honestly, that is doesn't mean we have to agree, because I don't agree. I don't. But I have to, listen, even the Bible says to pray for your enemies. I don't know Joe Biden personally, or President Biden. I don't know him personally. I don't like what he stands for. But I don't know him personally. He hasn't done anything to me personally yet. But we're still to pray for our enemies. So we're going to talk about faith on a level that maybe perhaps we've never explored. Or maybe you've seen this before, but maybe you've never looked at it in this way. So hang on your belt. The fact that we are to pray and believe that mountains can be moved. But of course, all things go through God's filter. So real quick, let's pray for our nation and for our president and for God to speak to us in this message. Oh, Father God, Lord, we do not understand your ways. Your ways are as high as the heavens are above the earth. Are your ways above our ways? But Lord, we do know that you want us to walk by faith, not by logic, not by sight. And sometimes that means, Lord, to stand out like a sore thumb and to go in an opposite direction of the flow, even the flow within the church. But Lord, I, Father God, pray for our president, that, Lord, maybe somehow, some way, that some of the things that he says he's going to do that he would not do, and that he would do the things that are pleasing to you. Lord, I pray for the babies, Lord. I pray for the children who are abducted, being trafficked. I pray for our freedoms to speak openly the truth. I pray for the freedom, even, Lord, for those who speak lies, but, Lord, to be able to say and for us to be able to discern and not to have someone discerning for us. God, I pray for the freedom to meet as a church. Lord, for not that we would not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and that church would be essential, prayer would be essential, worship would be essential, that prayer would be allowed in schools. And so, Lord, we turn the page. But, Lord, may that page have your name all over it. And, Lord, I want to be, Lord, I'm optimistic that you're coming. In the meantime, the cookie may crumble. And so, Lord, we just love you, praise you, and honor you. And now bless this time as we think about, talk about, and, Lord, begin to learn how to express faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, open your Bibles to James chapter 2, verse 18 through 26. Now, every once in a while, I've said this before, every once in a while, you have need for your pastor to get up all in your faith. And that's what I'm going to do. See, faith is easy to talk about. It's hard to live. Why? Because oftentimes, like I said earlier, people, us, me, you, we live by logic and not by faith. We live by reason and by perception and not by faith. In fact, the Bible tells us to walk by faith, not by sight. And we're going to explore that. You're going to find out that sight oftentimes is a killer to faith. James chapter 2, starting in verse 18. But some will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works. I will show you my faith by my works. You believe in one God, you do well. Even demons believe and tremble," or shudder, whichever translation you have. See, there are different kinds of faith. There's dead faith, which is what James is going to be talking about here. There's demonic faith. And then there's living, loving faith. The question that you and I have to ask tonight is, what kind of faith do we have? What do I mean by that? Is your faith dead? And what is dead faith? Dead faith is this: you talk about it, you pray about it, but you're afraid to move and act upon it. I'm not afraid to stand up and look like a fool. I don't care. I want you to know that I believe that God can do anything. And so many will say, "I believe that," but then they go, "Yeah, but not right now, not in this situation." Tell me, what situation is there that God cannot respond to or overcome? Is there anything on earth or in creation or in logic or reasoning that God can't do? Is there anything God can't do? No. Well, he can't lie. I would pray that you didn't want him to lie. Is there anything that we would want in this life that God can't do? No. There's no situation that will arise in your life or in existence that is beyond the reach of God. Nothing. Nothing at all. Faith is measured by walk, not talk, feet, not feelings, life, not lips. You see, too often we can talk it, we can feel like I have faith, and we can lip that we have faith, but listen, where our feet take us in our walk and how we live, that proves whether or not you have faith. To talk about it all day long, good for you. Now let me see you live it. There's a story of a guy who was a tightrope walker, and he was going to walk across, I think it was in Chicago or New York, something like that, across two buildings. Maybe it was World Trade Centers when they were up. I think that's where it was. And it was an exceptionally windy day. And he walked across with a wheelbarrow. And he made it all the way to the other side. And people were like, yeah, go back, go the other way. And it's like, okay, I'm going to go back. You guys believe I can do it? Yeah. He goes, okay, someone get in the wheelbarrow. Nobody wanted in the wheelbarrow. So you want it. You believe he can do it, but you didn't want to step out in faith. We need to have faith. Real faith looks like something. It doesn't just sound like something. It looks like something. You're unwavering. You don't move. You don't change. You just stick to the course, no matter what it looks like. Now, as you're going to see, sometimes you can rightfully put your faith in something, and it doesn't turn out the way your faith was, but it doesn't mean that God let you down or that you were wrong in believing that. Watch. He goes this, verse 20. Look at the wording. You want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? What strong wording. He says, listen, you talk about faith, but you don't have any works to back it up. Okay, fool, you want me to show you, fool? Wow, you know, as a pastor, if I talk like that to people, they'd be like, that guy's so mean. Man, I'm shocked. As I go through Paul, listen to Paul, listen to John the Baptist, listen to Jesus at times, talking to the Pharisees. And people look at me, oh, you're mean. I was like, I wasn't even nearly as strong as they were. I call you a fool. Yeah, it's amazing. Listen, but he's right. Foolish people have no faith in God. So here's a question. It's important for us to ask us. What would be the opposite of faith? Fear. Yeah. Fear. Do me a favor. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Matthew, Mark. Second Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. It's a familiar story, but watch this. Let me show you this. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, Jesus, talking to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. What did he say? Let's cross over to the other side. Did he say, let's sink in the middle? No. He said, let's cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. The other little boats were also with him. So realize this. It wasn't just the disciples and Jesus. There were some other boats. And a great windstorm arose. And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. I love my pillow. I just bought one. I bet Jesus had a my pillow. No, I'm just teasing. I don't think they'd be so lovable all wet. But hey, at least Jesus had a pillow. And he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Their perception was that they were perishing. What had Jesus told them? They would get to the other side. So they were now doubting what Jesus said. Why? Because they replaced what Jesus said with what they see. That's what you and I do. Jesus says, "I'll never leave nor forsake you." But look what's happening. He goes, "Look, what's more precious, what you see or what I've told you? The one who can deal with any situation." Now watch this, it gets better. Okay, so, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said, "Peace, be still." In other words, he says, "Shut up." Okay, he yells that. In the vernacular, it's like telling someone to shut their mouth. Why? It was demonic. And I don't have time to develop that. Let's move on. Let's just talk about faith. He says, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. In other words, it went from a tempest, immediately, boom, placid. The water was probably like glass. Birds were chirping. The clouds probably went, whoo. They're like, "Whoa." Sun shining. They're like, watch. It had to be extreme. Watch this. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Not just a little calm, a great calm. Like the super calm. Now, I was on the Sea of Galilee. I was there. It was awesome, by the way. Christian Jew, we were on his boat, and he was singing to us songs that we knew in Hebrew while we were on the sea. Dude, everybody on the boat was crying. It was powerful. We're like, "This Jesus was out here," and it was awesome. But anyways, so I was there. I get it. And it was a little windy. But there were waves. It was kind of cool. Okay. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" You see, fear versus faith. If you have faith, you have no fear. If you're fearful, you have no faith. Watch this, verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obeyed him?" You see what happened? Look, they feared the sea. They woke up Jesus, and he drastically calmed the sea. And then they said, "We were afraid of the wrong thing. Who is this guy?" Listen, the wind, the sea, demons, everyone obeys him. What's inside that package? That's no normal man. They feared exceedingly. All of a sudden, they realized that they had put their fear in the wrong thing. You and I can be going where God wants you to go. You can be in the place that God wants you to be. And God can even be right there with you, and you're in the midst of a fierce storm. Here's the other thing. We're all going to experience storms of life, and we may very well, very soon, experience incredible persecution and fear and storms. That's okay. Jesus is coming. He promised. But here's what, even before any of that stuff happens, storms happen in life. They do. But we can't tell the storm when to come. We can't tell the storm when to go, and we cannot tell how long to last. That's up to the one. Instead of putting your fear in the storm, put your reverential fear in the one who can calm it when it's time. Oftentimes, that's all he's waiting for, is for you to call upon him to calm it for you. But too often, we sit there just freaking out. The idea of the storm is to get us. Now understand this. Jesus purposely put them in that boat. And he goes, I'm going to go with you. And then he went Mimi time. On purpose. He wants to stretch their faith. And they're like, we're going to die. He does it again later. But this time he says, hey, guys.
Yes?
Get in the boat.
I don't want to.
Go across the other side.
I don't want to.
But they did it. They got on the boat. And this time he says, I'm not going with you. But he went up on the hill. And he could see them. Because you can see across the Sea of Galilee. And he could probably see them in the storm. Every time lightning struck, he could see the silhouette of them for 9 hours trying to get across. And he was praying for them. But they didn't freak out. But this time he's like, I got to stretch their faith. See, that's the idea. And how do I know that? Because then Jesus comes walking on the water and they're like, oh, it's a ghost. Now they're afraid. He's like, okay, good. I need to get you to the point of fear. Why? Because without that, we can turn that fear into faith and then we become stronger, spiritually stronger. You know, I say this all the time. If you're going to work out and you just use lightweight all the time, pretty soon it's not having an effect. You have to increase. It has to hurt a little. No pain, no gain. The same is true. That's why the Bible says work out your faith. I don't like that word. In the storm account, he said, verse 40, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And says they feared exceedingly. Once they realized, we have no idea who he is. Listen, do you have any idea how magnificent, how powerful, how omnipotent Jesus Christ is? That no matter what storm you are in, he has an out. Yeah, he may require you to do some rowing, of course. He may require you, yes, you have to get into the boat. God allows us to be a part of what he's doing because he wants to not just do a work through us, he wants to do a work in us. But so many refuse because they have fear. Verse 21, going back to James. Watch this. Verse 21 of James 2. Was it not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Now hold the phone. Wait. Did Abraham offer his son? Yes and no. Well, he didn't slice him open like he should an offering. Why? Because he turned around and he offered up the ram that was caught in the thickets. That became the offering. The idea of offering his son was he was supposed to slice his son open. God told him to. But wait, Pastor Randy, then are you telling me that God lied to Abraham when he said, go offer your son? No. God didn't lie to him. God was doing two things. He was teaching him and building up his faith all in one shot. You see, God will sometimes call us to have faith in an idea, and maybe God doesn't move out the way we thought he was going to move out, but he still is faithful. Election. Abraham was told, go offer your son. He goes, yes, he had faith. He says, I'm going to do this. Can you imagine? Maybe you go, okay, I don't have any kids. You got a pet that you love like a family member? God tells you, yeah, lay him out on the kitchen table and slice him open while he's alive. That's what, and then of course, you know, I tell you all the time, Isaac was in his 30s. He wasn't like 12 years old, like they always draw him, looks like a 12-year-old holding some sticks. No, he's about the same age as Jesus. He didn't fight. He trusted his dad. He also had faith. He knew what was going down. Hey, where's the offering? You'll see, son. But he would have to allow his dad to lay him on the altar. At some point, his dad had, because he's about to slice him open, and he believed God, even though God didn't have him actually offer his son. Listen, check. Because he had faith and was willing to do it, it's accounted as if he did. By the way, God is always concerned with the heart, not the action. That's why if you hate somebody, it's the same as committing murder. Why? Because it's the heart. Well, I didn't murder him, but you would have if you could have got away with it. Yeah, I know. Or if you look at a woman or a man, depending on what, yeah. If you look with lust, it, in God's eyes, it's the same as you committed adultery. Why? Because you would have, he could have. So here with Abraham, it's counted to him because he believed God wholeheartedly. Now, you think when he gets to heaven, they're going to go, you know, you didn't actually offer him up. No, they're going to say, wow, you really were going to do that. You really believed God would resurrect your son, didn't you? Yep. Wow, what faith. See, that's the camp I want to be in. I want to be in the camp that if God says, put your faith in this, I don't care. I'm going to put my faith, and I will not waver that faith no matter what anybody thinks. Before or after. All I care about is when I get to heaven, they go, wow, you believed that. Yep. Y'all did. Why? Because of him, God. I don't fear the storm. I fear not pleasing the Savior. So Abraham, verse 22 of James. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. You see, he didn't actually offer his son. But because he had the faith to trust God and he was willing to do it, that's what was counted on his behalf. It was accounted to him as faith, even though he didn't actually do the offering. Why? Because he wouldn't waver. He trusted in God. That's a lesson for you and I. Is that where your faith is? Will you go, I don't care what anyone else thinks, I believe God. When you kneel down to pray for someone, do you go, oh God, you know, I guess you could heal him. I'm not sure how you'll do it. My dad was dying. They took out a chunk of his lung, and they said, the day since he was 9 years old. Yeah, and the doctor came and said, Mr. Castillo, when we opened him up and we took out that, he said, the rib cage, the lungs, the cancer was every. They said if we'd kill him trying to take all that out of there, and we go, okay, doctor, how much time before? And he said best case and best, maybe 3 months, 4 months. So you need to say your goodbyes. My mom's crying, my sisters are crying, and God told me I could heal him. But would they give me glory if I healed him? So I took each one of them. I took my mom. I took each one of my sisters. I said, listen, what if God could heal Dad? Would you give God the glory? Of course, my mom, already a believer. Oh, mijo, that would be wonderful. I go, I know, Mom. I love you. Give her a hug. But my sisters weren't believers at that time. One of them is now. The other one isn't. But at that time, they were like, Randy, I don't know how that could. I said, I didn't ask you how. I'm saying if God was able to heal Dad, would you glorify God? Would you give God the glory? I don't know how. I don't know how. They just kept arguing with me. I said, okay, fine. I gave up. The very next day, I promise, the very next day, we're sitting in the cafeteria. The doctor comes running in. He's literally, you could see the sweat beads, like he'd been running around the hospital quite a bit. He was shaking. He said, Castillo's, he was mad at us because he couldn't find, we're like, we're hungry. He says, we've been looking for you. We can't find any cancer in him at all. Neither one of my sisters surrendered to God. They cried and they stood, it took but after that, my dad got saved. lived 8 years as a Christian, and then he died. Yeah. Faith. Faith goes against the grain. Faith goes, I believe, even if everyone else goes, oh, I don't know how. I don't care. Then you don't know my God. Well, God didn't move the mountain. Well, I'm shocked he didn't move the mountain, but I believed he could, and you know what? He may one day. But today, I stay believing my God can do anything. Abraham, yep, I'm going to cut you open to honor God. And his son goes, okay, daddy, cut away. And God goes, no. I wanted to see if you trust me that far. Wow. Verse 23. By the way, God knew he would, and God was also giving us a picture of Jesus and him. And it's a great story. Just go do your own research. You'll see the parallels. It'll blow your mind. Maybe one day I'll do it for you. Verse 23 of James. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God. There you go. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. When you have faith that God can do anything, God loves that. That's why he says, without faith, there's no pleasing God. Because when you don't have faith, it means you go, well, I don't think he can. I need to figure out how I'm going to fix this. And God goes, oh, mijo. It says he called him friend. Verse 24. See that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, please, people go, Martin Luther didn't want the book of James to stay in the Bible because he felt it was too legalistic. Because of this stuff right here. Because some people go, see, you have to work, do certain things in order to be saved. That is not what he says. Let's read it again. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In other words, what he is saying, he's not saying that, you know what, the only way you're going to be saved is if you do this and do that. No. That's not what he's saying. He's saying when you are truly saved, your belief in God causes you to do things and stand things and say things that go against the grain because it's pure faith. And not by sight or logic or deduction. Here's a great, turn over to Numbers 13. You're probably familiar with this, but I want you to see a couple things here. Numbers chapter 13, verse 26 through 29. You're familiar. Moses is leading the Israelites through the desert. It's just been a couple of months, by the way, since the parting, the 10 miracles, the plagues upon Egypt to get them freed from the Egyptians and the amazing parting of the Red Sea and then 3 days in the desert and 11 million gallons of water coming from a rock. It's just a few months ago. And here they come to the promised land. And God says, hey, get some spies, send some spies, check out the land. Watch, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Boo-hoo. You see, here's the thing. When we lack faith and we operate in fear, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. See, they're projecting their own self-image upon the circumstance instead of projecting God's possibilities upon or promises upon the circumstance. We're not strong enough. No, your faith wasn't strong enough. Caleb,
Joshua saw the very same thing you did, and they're like, hey, we can go up and take them. Why? We got God. And they're like, no, we're not able to go against the people, for they're stronger than us. Listen, can I never make decisions from fear? We must make decisions by faith. If you're fearful, if you're in a situation and you're fearing, stop. Gain faith and then make a decision, preferably through prayer and worship and the word and God's leading. He says, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us. Listen, remember what God told before this. We didn't read it, but God said this. He says, send men out to spy the land of Canaan, the land which I am giving to the children of Israel. He's like, I'm giving you this. Just go check it out before you take it. And they came back with grapes so big. The grapes were huge, ginormous. Verse 32. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied, saying, the land though through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. What? They said the land sucks and eats people alive. Look, that's what they said. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land which devours it. The land eats you alive. God did not promise the Israelites a land that eats people alive. See how their fear has now just created lies. Then all the people who we saw in it are men of great, they're all giants. I'm sorry, you're telling me as you went through the land, every single person was a giant? No. Were they 200-pound babies? No, they're exaggerating again. They're seeing things because out of their fear, everything is too much. When we are in fear, everything is ginormous. Verse 33. There we saw the giants, descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we are like grasshoppers. Look. And we are like grasshoppers in our own sight. Oh, in your own sight, we are like grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Yeah, I'm sure the Canaanites are going, hey, look at those little Jewish grasshoppers. No, they were projecting their own self-image instead of representing the image of the living God who said, I'm giving you this land. You're going to watch. Hang on. So here, Joshua and Caleb experienced the same thing, but they had faith over fear. These 10 spies had fear over faith. And because of their fear over faith, God took them into the desert for 40 years and then brought them back to the land 40 years later and asked the same question. That's what God will do to you. If you and I respond in fear to a situation, you think God goes, oh, well, you didn't learn that. No, he's going to go, okay, let me show you what your fear got you. And then he'll take you for a little while and then he'll bring you back to another circumstance that's almost identical so that you can say, he can say, okay, now how are you going to respond now? Did you learn your lesson? Why? Because God is concerned with you and I growing in faith. That's why James says, let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be complete. That word complete means mature. God wants you to be mature. And by the way, Ephesians chapter 4, go look at it, read it, and you'll hear all about how you mature in the body of Christ. It's one of my favorite chapters. One of my favorite. But Ephesians 14, if you want. Or 12. Ephesians 12. So what were they basing their report on? Truth? No. Because the truth was God said, it's yours.
But go check it out. God was letting them see their own heart, by the way. He had more growing for them to do. By the way, sometimes God tests us in situations, not because he's going to actually take us into the promised land yet. He just wants to see, actually he wants us to see just how much faith do you really have. It's not for him, it's for me. I want to be found having faith, no matter what the circumstance. But here's what we can conclude. Remember when Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? We could also say, out of the abundance of the heart, the eye sees. See, if your heart is filled with doubt and fear, that's what you're going to see. Giants. Land that swallows people up whole. Insurmountable enemy. If that's what your heart is, that's what you'll perceive. But if your heart is, God's got this, got that, doesn't matter what the situation is, God's got it, then all of a sudden your perception matches your heart. What does your heart see? The ten spies, when they went to go see, their fear was based on a self-perception. They were self-dependent. The two who had faith, Caleb and Joshua, their vision, their result was based on God-dependent. Which are you? Are you self-dependent? Then you have fear, worry, anxiety. You have all those things. If you're God-dependent, you're invincible. And your situations may be hard, may be storm, but you're invincible. You're going to get to the other side. Why? Jesus said so. He ain't no liar. Sorry. Verse 25, back to James. I love this. Here we go. Watch this. So here we got, when the Israelites picked 10 men, or it was actually 12 men, it was one from each tribe. Now, when they picked these spies, you think they picked the wimpiest guys? No. They probably picked what they would consider their, SEAL Team 6 or SEAL Team 12 to go in. And 10 of them were not SEALs at all. They were more like dolphins or something. I don't know. They were wimps. Dolphins aren't wimpy, but they're jellyfish. Two were Navy SEALs. But watch the contrast. Do me a favor. Let's look at 25. Watch this. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Oh, man. Okay, do me a favor. Turn back to Joshua. Or actually, we're going to look at Joshua now. 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb earlier said, hey, we could do this. 10 said no. The people of Israel listened to the 10, ignored Joshua and Caleb. They go 40 years later, here comes Joshua. He sends in some spies to Jericho. Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. Now, before they laid down, they came up to them on the roof. And she said to the men, so here's what happened. The spies go in to town and they lodge at a prostitute's house. Now, I do not believe, some commentaries will say, that the men went there for other reasons. I do not believe that. Why? Because her faith in God is not tainted. Had they come there for other purposes with this prostitute, other than going, you know what, if we give a prostitute money, she will let us stay here. And who would think to look for some spies, hiding right in the middle of the hubbub? But it says this. Now, before they laid down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, listen to this. I know that the Lord has given you the land. The Jews earlier, God said, I give you the land. And they go, Here's a prostitute. She didn't hear God say that. She just believes that. Wow. I know the Lord has given you the land.
that the terror of you has fallen on us, that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you, little grasshopper Jews. The land was afraid of the Jews 40 years later. 40 years. And the people still fear the little grasshoppers. And the little grasshoppers 40 years earlier, when everyone was probably super fearful because it had just happened that same year, they go, no, we can't take them. And all of them go, whew, thank God, we were afraid of you guys. See how fear can creep in? Now, the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, which would be Jericho, would be their first fortified city. They had every reason to fear, but they weren't fearing the Jews. They were fearing the God of the Jews. And the Jews were fearing men and not trusting their own God. How ridiculous is that? What about you and I? When our storm is in front of us, when the mountain's in front of us, when the Goliath is in front of us, when trouble's in front of us, do we fear that or we go, God, you got this? But Randy, come here. It doesn't make any sense. Look at this and look at that. Get out of my face. I want to be like Caleb and Joshua and believe, even if it looks ridiculous. Oh, what? Look what else she says, okay? I know that the Lord has given you the land. The terror of you, little Jews, have fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Gog, who you utterly destroyed. What? Shouldn't they have drawn from that? God parted the Red Sea, he brought the 10 plagues, brought the water. We fought against these two kings. By the way, Og was reportedly a giant, possibly even larger than Goliath. Goliath, 9 feet. Apparently, it's reported that he was like 15 to 18 feet tall. He played basketball. He was great. No. They had to raise the hoop. It was not fair for the normal 7-foot guys. Anyways, verse 11. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Rightfully so. Just like the disciples on the boat who said, who is this Jesus? They hear about God on their fight. And they're like, oh, God, we don't want to go against that God. Good thinking. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. And of course, they didn't have courage because they had no faith. You can't have courage without faith. You can have stupid courage, but real courage. Rahab, the prostitute. She has more courage than the best military guys of Israel. Wow. She didn't have God. She only heard about God. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God is the God of heaven above and on earth beneath. See, the fear is the God that's with them. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brother and sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. Listen, guys, I know you guys are a little scared, but I've heard what your God has done as you traveling through the desert. We're afraid of you. And if your God is telling you to spy, you guys are going to demolish this place. So, you know what? Will you please spare my family? Just, I'll be nice to you. Please have mercy on us. What a woman. What a woman. She may be a harlot, but she ain't stupid. when it comes to faith. And if you go to, don't turn there, Joshua 6, Joshua comes in. Of course, you know the story. The walls fall down, all the walls except where Rahab is. That's the only part that stays up. God spared her. Listen, she didn't live in fear of an army. Her faith was in a God that she didn't even know. She only heard about him. How sad is it that when you and I say we know God and then we still operate in fear, and the angels go, oh man, there's a prostitute who didn't know God has more faith than you who have the Holy Spirit in you.
Yeah, but when I look at things and I lay out and I map it out, it doesn't make sense.
Good for you. Map it all out. I'm proud of you. How about believing God can do anything? Her fear was in the right person. She didn't fear the king of Jericho sent soldiers. Hey, Rahab, there were men here. Oh, yeah, they went over there. They're way over there. Go get them. You could hurry up. She lied. She didn't fear the king. She didn't fear the soldiers. She didn't even fear the spies of Israel. She only feared the Lord. And she believed that God could spare her. She was thankful that the spies came to her and she could give them lodging. The spies were thankful that they hid her, that she hid them. Joshua was thankful that she had faith to protect his spies and have them come back. Listen, living in thanksgiving leads to thankful living. Thankful giving, giving thanks leads to thankful living. Do you give thanks to the Lord for what he's already done so that you can have a thankful life, a thankful heart, a trusting heart? Now, let me give you some keys to living a life of faith. 3 G's, gratitude, go, and God. Gratitude. Gratitude for what God has already done, believing and knowing that no one else could have done it for you. No one else could save you. There is no other name. All the trials and tribulations that you've already experienced, God's the one who got you through it, not your genius. Gratitude. Don't forget what God has done, the victories, small and great. They will help you get through the battles that are standing before you. See, I trust God for the impossible because I've already seen the impossible over and over and over again. And here it is. This church is impossible. My pastor came and said, wow, this is crazy. You're in the middle of a desert. This church sprung up like wildfire. God has done amazing things here. That's a miracle. I'm saved, ex-drug addict, alcoholic, vile, disgusting person. And I'm saved. My marriage was on the brink of disaster, and God healed it miraculously. Jennifer and I were just praying about that and thanking God for that. And over and over, and all of y'all, you're saved. It's a miracle. We go, oh, I'm saved. No, do you understand? The first G, gratitude. And how do you get gratitude? By remembering all the things God has done. And don't forget them. And when that battle comes, you go, God, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did, you got this. The second G, go. What? Go forward. Step out. Speak out. Don't be afraid to lift your arms and believe that the Red Sea will part. Don't be afraid to believe a mountain can move. And if it doesn't move, well, then God didn't have it. It wasn't time, or it wasn't something that he's going to do at the moment or even want to do. Maybe he just wanted you to see how much faith you really had. Like Abraham. Abraham didn't really sacrifice his son, but he was willing to. So step out. Move forward. Do something incredible, something that doesn't make logical sense, that you don't see why. Just do it if God is calling you to do it. Of course, make sure it's biblical. I'm going to do this. Say, what you going to do? No, don't do that. Biblical. I'm going to be like Rahab. No! Have her faith, not her occupation. So have gratitude. Go, step out. God, be God-dependent, not self-dependent. Be God-dependent and not dependent on your friends, your neighbors, your politicians. Be dependent upon God in everything. And listen, maybe you look like a fool here on earth, but you do not look like a fool in heaven. In fact, they probably go, look at that faith. Oh my gosh, it's real. Yeah. Listen, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do you want to please God? Then how about start trusting him? To be without faith, it really means that you are self-sufficient. I don't need faith. I got Randy. My smarts, my strength, my you know, ability to reason. That's garbage. To be without faith is to be self-sufficient. It means to be walking in fear, in doubt, in worry, in anxiety. All of those are byproduct of no faith. But pastor, you don't understand. Well, then you don't understand my God. That's mean. Sorry, it's true. True for me too. It simply means when I have fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, means that I don't trust him. Him. Real quick, as I start to wrap up, James chapter 2, right here where we're at. Look at verse 22. Let me read that again. You see that faith was active along with his works. See, faith produced the works. They work side by side. And faith was completed by his works. So faith caused him to do works. The works completed his faith. You see, it's a circle. Sometimes you and I, we just need a faith lift. It's hard to say with a big old tongue. Faith lift. There you go. Yeah. Sometimes we need a faith lift. So, let me encourage you, feed your faith and you'll starve your doubts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we are reminded to walk by faith, not by sight or logic or reason. Father God, that we are to walk by faith, believing and trusting in the impossible. And Lord, should you choose not to do the impossible, doesn't mean you're not God. It doesn't mean we put our faith in something stupid. It just means, Lord, we really trust you no matter what. And Lord, I will not stop stepping out, speaking out, standing out like a sore thumb if need be. Lord, I will be even more undignified than this if it brings you glory. Father God, I don't see any of the patriarchs, Lord, walking in safety, walking in the normal. Lord, it seemed like they had supernatural faith, so you did supernatural things through them. Lord, I want that to be the earmark of my life. And so, Lord, please, bless my brothers and sisters here tonight. May they examine their faith. Lord, may we see, Lord, that we have gratitude and that we're willing to go and that we are only dependent upon you. Then, Lord, we can change the world around us when they see our love and our faith. Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Let's stand, sing one last song.